Why are death and resurrection central to the Christian faith? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm Matilde Frey, Professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University School of Theology. I'm your host and study guide author. We come to the final lesson of the study, Present Truth in Deuteronomy, and we will speak about the resurrection of Moses. My conversation partners are Jody Washburn, Professor of Old Testament at Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Alton Thompson, Emeritus Professor of Old Testament from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Death and resurrection, are they central also today in our Christian walk with God, in our Christian faith?
Well, we share death with everyone, not just Christians. But resurrection is a Christian hope.
Mm-hmm. Last week, I was in the section of the textbook for Christian beliefs that asked the students to think about what we mean by salvation. What do we mean by saying Jesus is the Savior? What is atonement, you know? And the textbook pointed out how all of these phases, like the life, the birth, the life, the death, resurrection, and ascension, right? All emphasized in different ways by different people. And it was very interesting. So I did a quick poll of the 45 people there, and I said, when you've heard people in public spaces talk about God and about what Jesus does for us, right, which of these has been emphasized? And by far the most common answer was death, the death of Jesus as sort of the way that he is the Savior. Then the textbook pointed out that really when you read the New Testament, the resurrection is the most often cited as the basis for understanding Jesus as Savior, okay? Mm-hmm. As the one who offers redemption, who offers something like death is not the end of the story. And then it was just interesting also to hear students say, even in their lifetime, they have noticed a bit of a shift in public proclamations of God and what is Jesus doing or has done for us, a shift to Jesus' life, right, as a model, a way to envision what it looks like to live out the character of God in our world. It's fascinating just to hear different people's experience on what has been emphasized.
Mm-hmm. And resurrection has taken a little bit backstory.
I think that resurrection was the main, because think in terms of the New Testament, the disciples, what is that one line that's just chilling? They returned to their nets, right? They went back to what they had been doing before as if, well, I guess that's it. Whew. You know, and so it's really in the New Testament, it is the resurrection that puts the fire.
But now we come to Moses' resurrection.
Yeah, good question.
And an amazing conclusion to the book.
Right. So what do you make of that? It's so mysterious at the end. Like he died. And no man knows his burial place to this day.
And that very intriguing way it says, and he buried him.
Yes. Yeah. So what do we do? What do we do with this ending of this book in this way? The book of the law.
Well, from a kind of technical point of view, it's one indication that Moses didn't write the book. It was edited and his speeches were included. Although there are some very devout, I know one rabbi insisted that Moses wrote it and that he saw in advance
his death,
and with tears streaming down his face, he described his own death. But I think we ought to take it obviously. You have some first-person passages, but you also have third-person passages. And that means it's put together.
Yeah.
Of course, the best book for modeling a construction of a biblical book is the book Jeremiah. You got secretaries, he's got sources, everything is carefully dated. It's a wonderful book to show how books of the Bible are put together.
And before it comes to the last chapter, it even says, here is where Jeremiah's words end, isn't it? And then there is another chapter.
Yeah. I remember John Dibdall, one of my colleagues, my generation, was giving a workers' meeting up in Alaska. And two of the pastors were shaken when they read that. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. And then you have the whole additional chapter. And their thought was, Jeremiah didn't write it. But it doesn't have to be written by Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the New Testament, I like to play with my students. Who wrote the book of Romans? Is that one line in there? I, Tertius, the writer of this letter, greet you in the Lord. It's as if he couldn't resist and had to put a post-it note in there. Hey, I'm the scribe here.
Yeah.
And I think we ought to be able to let the Bible books simply lay the way they are. By God's Spirit, He's brought them together, by whomever, under what circumstances, and we ought not to lose any sleep over, thus far the words of Jeremiah, mm-hmm. or Moses died and was buried.
I never know how far to take the, I don't know if I should call this typological connections or allusions, parallels. But in the Christian canon, you have at the very last chapter that comes in Malachi, right before we get to the New Testament, mm-hmm. You have references to Horeb, taking us back to Moses, and then you have references to Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's striking to me how the New Testament authors are, in some cases, explicit, right, in their portrayal of Jesus and the work of Jesus as he is the new Moses, he is the new Elijah, and there are all of these parallels. And I don't know exactly what conclusion to draw from that other than seeing this close to the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses, in a sense, has spent his life, right? It's spent. It's used up. And he lays down his life as the people walk into the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
In your study guide, Matilda, you got this impressive list about the life and death of Moses. It's really quite intriguing to see what you come up with there.
Which one did you like?
Well, I just thought it was amazing that you had three, four, five, six bullet points, so to speak.
He could not go into that promised land.
Yeah.
So he looked across. There is no burial place. That is one that is fascinating, don't you think? Moses, the great leader of the people, the revered lawgiver in this case here, and there is no monument to him. There is no place where you go and do a pilgrimage, or you know where the burial place is, and so on. For every famous leader of other nations in the ancient world, there is a monument, there is a pyramid, there is a stone, and so on. And Moses is disappeared.
A couple of the others in your list, I think, are really impressive too, where you talk about Moses was 120.
Mm.
His eye was undimmed and his natural energy unabated.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord kept him full steam ahead until he just flipped off the switch.
Yeah. And then he could not speak at the beginning when he was called. He said, I cannot speak. I have a hard time speaking. And the book that is actually ascribed to him, even in the biblical text, in some way, is the book that is called the words, right? In the Hebrew title, Deuteronomy is Devarim, which means the words. So that is his legacy that he has given.
Moses also takes his place alongside Abraham, are the ones who challenged God.
Yeah,
and that for me has always been intriguing, because I kind of grew up thinking we really shouldn't challenge God. God's God. So it just astonished me when I read Abraham You can't do that, Lord. Mm-hmm. You're the judge of all the earth. You can't go out there and judge. And so the Lord says, okay. But Moses did the same thing.
Yes.
What will the Egyptians say? And the text says, and the Lord repented.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Simply because Moses was not afraid to challenge God.
Mm-hmm. And then in the prophets, you know, that Jeremiah, Habakkuk, that same thread is taken up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is that New Testament passage on the Transfiguration where Moses is present with Jesus on the mountain, and the disciples, Peter says, we want to stay here together, all together with them. Kind of like, let's have all those famous ancient people, and we want to keep them. And that is impossible. They are like, their life is fleeting, if you will, according to the other texts.
And you can see, when you read the rest of the story, what happened when they got down at the bottom of the mountain.
Yeah.
Could see why they wanted to stay on top.
Yes. Yeah.
Their colleagues hadn't been able to heal the epileptic boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jesus came up, and this kind only comes out by prayer.
Well, Moses receives a great obituary in Deuteronomy 34. Never again did there arise a prophet in Israel like Moses. Right? So he knew the Lord face to face, according to that passage. And maybe that part where he is not just following, but also speaking up, challenging you mentioned before, that is something where the prophet and God, where Moses and God and all the others enter into this very intimate way of relationship. And that, to me, is the heart of that trust matter there. So faith in actual, in activity, in action, in other words.
And it takes tremendous risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you let's say you challenge God, you don't know what will the outcome of this be. Much like when we enter in relationship, interdependent relationship, you know, there's inherent risk.
Well, that's why in the section in Deuteronomy 5 at the end there, where it's a fascinating presentation about how the people related to God and the fire and the smoke and everything. And they said, don't let God talk to us anymore. Moses, you go up.
Yes.
And it's so fascinating because we want to make God very gentle and kind and sweet. But people says, we're scared to death. And the Lord says, that's good. I'm glad that you're scared to death. Maybe you'll remember.
Well, with this, we have come to the end of this series of lessons on the book of Deuteronomy. And I am saying thank you to my conversation partners, Jody Washburn and Alden Thompson, and to our program engineer, Samuel Schaffner, and to all of you who have listened to these lessons. And I hope we all grow from this study of this book. For the Good Word, I am Matilda Fry.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.